Now, we're going to get into the word radical. This is the series that we started last week. Pastor Ferdy Kabiling preached last week. How many of you appreciated Pastor Ferdy Kabiling? I mean, you talk about radical. That's the guy who's on fire, on the edge, die hard for Jesus. All right. Now, when you talk about radical, the word radical will be described or at least defined as extreme, hardcore, die hard. Now, the thread that I want us to be able to talk about this next several weeks is that God's radical love, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died, sacrificed his life on our behalf, God's radical love and God's radical mission, us going out to the ends of the earth. And then what it does, it demands our radical response. And so for the next 5 weeks, we're going to revisit our core values. Core values, it has a way of defining an organization, defining an individual. It defines who we are, and it also determines how we behave. And that's what core values are. And the five core values that we have here at the church, it's lordship, it's evangelism, it's discipleship, leadership, and family. And attached to these core values are some of the sayings that you may have heard for many, many years. Jesus, period. Pastor Ferdy talked about that last week. The 99 and the one, that's what we're going to talk about today. Discipleship, every member, a minister. This statement or this saying has been going on for many, many years. Leadership, one chapter ahead, you might have heard of this. And then family, we value family. And so today we're going to talk about evangelism. And when you talk about evangelism, it seems like a huge word. It seems like a, I'm not really an evangelist, but, I know I'm called to evangelize. I'm called to share. Now, question is this. We share a lot of things, whether that's through our social networks. When you think about this, when there's a sale, people talk about, the sale that's coming up, all right? And so, my wife, even if she has a fever, will get up even if there's a sale, just because there's a sale, okay? We get very, very sweet in the mall because I have to hold her hand during a sale, all right? So we walk hand in hand. So whether that's a sale or maybe you pass the board exam, you share on your social networks, I passed the exam. Or, it's piece of fair time, all right? I was talking to Pastor Jeff. I said, sometimes yes, sometimes no. People don't want to share this because they might lose some slots, all right? So, or maybe there's a new movie coming out, all right? And so, because we saw this movie, we shared to people, these are nice. This is a nice movie. Why don't you go watch it? And, I'm willing to watch it with you. Recently, my sister adopted a baby, all right, and she's so excited about it, and her Facebook page is so full of Ellie's picture, and so she's excited about that. Last month, I don't know if you heard about it, It was a promo in Lugang Cafe, all right, 588, and this is the best Xiaolong Bao, okay, I've ever tasted, all right, so it was only for 1 month long, and so my small group, we went there after having our small group, and so we ate Xiaolong Bao all you can, and so, that's because somebody shared it to Pastor Carlos told me, and I told our small group, and our small group shared. Just that's how it goes, okay? When something's nice, when something's exciting, when something is worth or it's valuable, you share it with other people. I was talking to my son yesterday. He was talking about, I don't know if those of you are young people here, you probably have heard this, my bae caught me sleeping, okay, Instagram. All right, and so this picture right here, okay, it's like, my girlfriend or my special someone caught me sleeping, but, it was actually a picture he took himself, all right, and just all these types of, you see this all around now, okay, and then or this girl, okay, with all the potato chips, and yet she has her iPad right there, okay, or this one, maybe a Filipino, okay, but he's pretty creative, because he used his feet, all right, to take the picture. Now, that's pretty resourceful and creative, okay? Now, We share a lot of things on Instagram, and you know the value of a person, or at least what the person values, by the things he shares on your in his Instagram post. You know, a lot of them are food, family, okay, church, you know. And but the question is this: why don't we share the most amazing story that has ever been told? Why is it that the most amazing story, when we say this is something that has radically changed my life, has revolutionized the way I live my life, and yet we don't share to people, okay? Whether it's fear, maybe. Some people, I don't want to be rejected. I don't want people to make fun of me or laugh at me or ridicule me. Maybe whether it's fear, or people say, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. It's really not my job, okay? Or some people say, I don't have any experience. I'm ill-equipped. Well, there may be different reasons that you and I have, but let's look at the scripture and what does the Bible say about this. In Luke chapter 15, verse 1, if you're there, could you stand on your feet? We're going to read the Bible together. We stand to honor the word of God. God's word is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. 15, verse 1, the Bible says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told this parable, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep after he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner. Everybody say one sinner. One sinner who repents over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we're grateful because your word, Lord, is like a double-edged sword that pierces the hearts, as the scripture says, Lord. And I pray that your word would pierce our hearts. Let it be not just informational, but let it be transformational. I pray, Lord, that we would hear, listen, and apply your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come, would speak to every heart today. Even as in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 3, the Bible says that the word of God cut to their hearts. I pray that the word of God would cut to our hearts today. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Now, let me set up the background here, the backdrop here in Luke chapter 15. On chapter 14, Jesus was coming from a house of a Pharisee, and he was talking about different parables about the kingdom of God. And then in Luke chapter 15, this is where we pick up our story. He talks to, he was with the tax collectors and sinners, okay? They were listening to Jesus. Now, I don't know if you notice this. Every time in Scripture, it talks about tax collectors and sinners. Like, the tax collectors is one category. Sinners is one category. I've realized when studying through this, tax collectors are, at least in their perspective, is in a different whole category, a different level. Tax collectors are considered as traitors. Not only sinners, but traitors. They work for the Roman government. Not only do they work for the Roman government, you know, thereby becoming like as traitors, but more than that, they are ones who are, who cheat a lot. They're considered somebody who would be, you know, somebody who would try to, add more instead of, if this is how much tax you should pay, they add and they pad it, and they're very corrupt. And so, really bad reputation among the Israelites. And then the sinners, those who break and are disobedient to the Mosaic law. Okay, tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. Now, it's interesting that those who were unlike Jesus liked Jesus. Those who were unlike Jesus liked Jesus. The tax collectors, the sinners, the Samaritans, those who were far away from God, it seems like there was an attraction to Jesus, okay, with these guys. And I've had to look at my own life and I say, when people see me, or when even, you know, people who are far away from Jesus, are they attracted to Jesus because of me, or are they appalled to find out Wait, you're a Christian pala. I hope that's not the case for you and for me. Luke chapter 15, verse 2, the Bible says, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now, when you, throughout scripture, one of the descriptions given and the titles given to Jesus was he was a friend of sinners. That title or that description today may seem like a, you know, I'm thankful that Jesus is a friend of sinners because I'm a sinner and I'm glad that he's my friend and I'm his friend. But during those days, this was a derogatory remark because it was one that says, you know, this guy was looked down upon because he was always with the tax collectors and sinners. He wasn't, you know, considered as somebody who, why is he spending so much time with these? Now, let me go ahead and break down the verses that we just read. What does it mean to reach the one, okay, to leave the 99 and to try to reach for the one? Okay, let me give you three things here. Number one, it means to value the lost. What does it mean to reach out to the one and leave the 99? Value the lost. The Bible says in verse 3 and in verse 4, Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Now, it doesn't make sense to leave 99, okay, and go for the one. You already have 99. You know, that's just one out of the 100. Well, it is because lost people matter to God. Lost sheep matter to the shepherd. Lost people matter to God. And I'm so thankful that lost people matter to him. How many of you at one time you were lost? Raise your hand. And we're so grateful that Jesus valued us and took us from the miry mud of sin and brought us into his kingdom, died, gave us life, and has now transformed us and continuously sanctifies us. You see, the shepherd looks for the lost. And that's what we want to keep doing. We want to keep reaching and finding the lost. You know, reach the lost, not the found. How many of you know that? It's the lost, not the found. And as a church, I pray, my prayer is that that's what we're doing. We're looking for the lost, not the found. It's not like, you know, I have a small group now in my school or in my office. You're a Christian. You're from CCF. Okay, come on, let's have a Bible study. Oh, you're from JIL. Oh, great, let's have a Bible study. Oh, you're from, you know, GCF. Great, let's have a Bible study. That's not reaching the lost. That's having a Bible study with Christians. The goal is not to make, you know, to get Christians to become better Christians. The goal is to reach the lost. Somebody say amen. And that's the call God has given you and me. Lost people matter to Jesus. Who are the lost? The ones who are not following. The ones who can't find their way back. Those who are lost but refuse to admit they're lost. These are the lost. I'll tell you this story because of this. It doesn't make sense for a husband to risk his life and get beaten up over and over and over again. It doesn't make sense for a man to risk his family to go out for the 1:05 a.m. It does not make sense. But why do we do this? It's because lost people matter to God. Now, we're in Manila, we're in the Philippines. Yeah, you know, there's 14,000 that come every weekend. We already have 14,000. Why reach out for another one? Well, as long as there's one unsaved person out there, we have not accomplished our mission. Why? Because every person, okay, every number is an individual, and every individual has a name, okay, and every name is a story, and every story matters to God. And you see, I want you to know this. Some people say, is it just about a number? Okay, it's not just about a number, because every number has a name and a story, and every story matters to God. I'm so thankful that God didn't just consider me a number or a statistic. Because years ago, when I was reached out by the gospel of Jesus Christ, I was a 17-year-old, insecure, lost young man who didn't have a father, who was lost as lost can be, and yet God reached out and said, this man I'm going to save. I'm just so thankful for that. Next one, preach the gospel. What does it mean to go for the one while leaving the 99? Value the lost and then preach the gospel. The Bible says, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Luke chapter 15. Now, it also doesn't make sense to leave the 99 in the open country. Why? Because you know that there are wolves out there wanting to attack the sheep. It doesn't make sense, but it is a risk the shepherd was willing to make. Why? Because of that one lost sheep. Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in fulfilling his promise in the sense in which men speak of slowness, but he bears patiently with you. His desire being that no one should perish, but all should come to repentance. 2 Peter. You know, Pastor Jim LaFoon came a few weeks ago, talked about this, and he said, he's our senior prophet in the movement. He talked about just the things that are to come, and he says, you know, they will come because you go. All right, and he was talking about evangelism. He was talking about, you know, the growth that you experience today is really just a down payment of what is to come. But two things need to happen, because you cannot ride on momentum alone. You cannot ride on momentum alone. It will come with prayer, and it'll come with missional evangelistic spirit. And so these two things, we took note as leadership, and we said we need to be spending more time in prayer. A lot of this has to come on our knees. And then second thing, so we want to be able to believe God. Lord, give us missional, cutting-edge evangelism so that we can reach the lost. You know, I think about Pastor Manny Muleta. Okay, some of you might know him. Pastor Manny Muleta, he's an original. Since 1984, he got reached out. He was this guy, okay, who was on the streets doing the mimes. Okay, that's Pastor Manny Muleta. And to this day, he still goes out. And I just so admire. He's the one leading the group with the taxi drivers. Okay, Basta Driver, Jesus Lover, all right, that's the group, okay? And then also now with a lot of our senior citizens and real life, parents of our real life scholars, he's an evangelist at heart, from 1984 to this day, he still goes out. You think about Pastor Manny Carlos, 2 weeks ago when he preached, okay? Let me just show you another throwback picture. That's Pastor Manny jumping, okay? This was a long time ago, okay? He was our worship leader, okay? And Pastor Manny, it's the same radical spirit then. It's still the same radical spirit today. You know, he was telling us a story one time when during the 80s, what they did was street evangelism. They would go on the streets and preach on the streets. I don't know if some of you remember those days. People would stay on the streets. And that's not as effective these days, because relational friendship evangelism is better these days. But then it was just street preaching in the streets, talking to people about Jesus. And so he was talking about one time he stood in the University Belt area, and he was in front of other people, and he started to preach on the street. And he shouted, he said, "Mga kababayan!" Okay? And so, you know, our countrymen, okay, he started shouting, "Mga kababayan!" And then everybody started running away. They thought it was a rumble, okay? They thought it was a rally of some sorts, okay? And so after that, all the other tricycle drivers with pipes started coming, and they thought it was a fight, okay? But just a radical spirit, okay? Now, think about this one also. That's Pastor Steve and Deborah. This was 1984 when they came. And I think about Pastor Steve graduated from University of Mississippi, and he won't tell you this story. He'll never tell you this story. He came from University of Mississippi and graduated business with business degree, and he was supposed to inherit his father's multi-million business. They had a lake house. They had money, and so he won't tell you this. But you know, he was supposed to inherit. Actually, the business was wine and liquor. They were the sole distributor in the area, in the region. Okay, J&B, Gadasar, Johnny Walker, just all these different drinks. Okay, and alcoholic drinks. And so he was supposed to inherit that, but he became a Christian. So his dad got really, really upset, number one. Number two, not only because he became a Christian, number two, he became a pastor. Number three, he didn't just become a pastor, he came to the Philippines. And so, you know, his dad's desire to pass on the business to him didn't work out. And so but he traveled from there to here and spent most of his life. Again, it doesn't make sense. Why get inconvenienced and leave your hometown? And it's so uncomfortable. And yet, because God values the lost, lost people matter to God, they came and planted the church. You see, found people find people. They knew who their Savior was. They knew who their Lord is. And because of that, Jesus found them, and now they're finding people who Jesus can reach out to. Third thing, and let me end with this one. Celebrate the found. Value the lost. Preach the gospel. Celebrate the found. The Bible says in verse 5 and verse 6, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Okay? Found my lost sheep. Okay, there's a lot of ruckus now in Cleveland. Because LeBron's back, okay? The lost sheep, they say. There's mixed reactions, you know. Heat fans are upset, you know. Cavaliers are happy. But, you know, whether, you know, when you think about rejoicing and finding somebody that was lost, let me say this, that the level of rejoicing is proportionate to the value of what was lost. If I just lost a hairpin or cotton buds, it's okay, because I can buy another one, or there's a lot of them in the house. But if it's an engagement ring or a wedding ring you've lost, how many of you know when you find that, the level of rejoicing is different than the level of rejoicing you have when you find that hairpin? Completely different. And so, why? Because the value of something is always, always determined by how much you're willing to pay for it. Let me explain. This was a painting by an abstract expressionist, Jackson Pollock. Now, when you look at the painting, I can actually vouch and say my 5-year-old son can do this, okay? But he's an abstract expressionist. It was sold to David Martinez in 2006, November 1. You know how much it was sold for? $151.2 million, okay? Why? Because the value of something is determined by how much someone is willing to pay for. That's why towards the end in verse 7, I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven. The level of rejoicing is going to be so high. Why? Because God values you. More rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. One final story, and I'll end with this one. This is a toy sailboat by a guy named Tommy. Tommy was he put this thing together and puts a string and releases it in the edge of the river. And so at one point a strong current came. And he was trying to pull his toy sailboat back, but because the strong current was so strong, the string cut or broke. And so he tried to run after the boat, and he couldn't, he couldn't see it anymore. And so he tried to look for it the rest of the day, couldn't find it. You know, until it was sundown, he had to go home, and he went home sad. Now, the next day, coming home from school, okay, he passes by an old shop with old stuff in. And he looks at the window, through the window, and he sees a sailboat that looked exactly like his. And so he goes in and talks to the shop owner and says, hey, that's my sailboat. And the shop owner says, well, you know, somebody brought it in this morning. Okay, and gave it to me, and if you want it, okay, you're going to have to pay $1 for it. He says, what? I made that thing. It's mine. I own it. Why do I have to pay $1? Well, that's just the way it is. C'est la vie. And so Tommy goes back home, okay, and, you know, gets all his quarters and dimes and nickels and gets a dollar and brings a dollar, okay, a total of a dollar to the shop owner and says, here it is. And the joy in the face of Tommy when he gets that, like he hugs that sailboat and with a smile on his face, as if it was a pet, talks to this sailboat. He says, now you're twice mine. First I made you, and now I bought you. I think about you and me. I think about how much God values you and me. He created us. The Bible says we were made in the image and likeness of Jesus, of God. And it was in our rebellion. It wasn't an accident that string broke. It was willful, intentional, deliberate rebellion that we broke off from God. And yet, He created us. However, He reaches out through His Son Jesus and He says, first I made you, now I bought you. I bought you with the precious blood of my Son Jesus. And as we end our time today, I want us to think about those things. Because we cannot share something you and I can't even enjoy if we don't know and not understand the greatness this salvation has, how great a salvation we have. We can't even share this. Listen, God values you and me. We were lost and yet He found us. We were dead and now we are alive. Jesus paid. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt He didn't even owe. That's our Jesus. Amen. Could you bow our heads? Father, thank you for, Lord, this morning. And Lord, we slow down and we think about the things that we just talked about this morning. And Lord, I pray for some of us here today. Goal is not to put any guilt trip, Lord, and to try to bring even condemnation. Lord, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But Lord, I pray for those who are here today who need you. Lord, there are those of us, Lord, today. There are some of us, Lord, who are here who've been coming to church week in and week out. And yet, it's actually possible to be in church and not know God. And some of you here today, I want to challenge you. Jesus loves you and values you and desires to have a relationship with you. Talk about valuing something by paying for that thing by His very life. And if you're here today, you're saying, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I'm giving my life to Jesus. He gave His for me. I'm giving mine for Him and to Him. If that's you, could you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I feel there's a few of you that needs to make that decision. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. Praise God. It's all right. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Can we all stand? I'm actually going to, those of you who raised your hands and those of you who, even though if you didn't, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step of faith. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before my Father, I'm going to acknowledge you before If you acknowledge before men, I'm going to acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, He died publicly in the seeing of everybody. And I want to challenge you, those of you who raised your hand and those of you who want to give your life to Jesus, I want to pray with you. I'm going to ask you to come here to the front so that you can pray. We're going to take a moment, and we're not in a hurry. If you raise your hand and if you want to give your life to Jesus, please come to the front. Those of you in the balcony, we're going to wait for you. If you're in the overflow room, we're going to wait for you up here. Just come up here. It's okay. Those of you who are already Christ followers, just begin to pray. Don't just watch. Just pray. Because this is a matter of life and death. Eternal life and death. Just keep coming. Anybody else? Those of you who are Victory Group leaders, just come to the front. Anybody else? Just come to the front. I know it's a bold step of faith you're going to take, and that's all right. Anybody else? If somebody needs to get out of the aisles, just let them pass through. It's okay. Lord, thank you that names are being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on, just come up here. Anybody else? You know, those of you in the front, can you look at me for a moment? I believe it's not an accident that you're here this morning. God brought you here. And you making a decision to surrender your life to Christ, okay, brings joy to His heart. And so I want to take a moment to pray with you and pray for you. Could you pray with me? If your heart, heart's desires to surrender your life to Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord, today, I commit my life to you. Thank you for forgiving me from all of my sins. And Lord, today, by your grace, I'm going to live for you from this day forward. Lord, we're grateful for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand?